You are listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. Thanks for joining us. I'm Sandra Swoboda hosting today, and we're doing a special show about a project we're involved with the Detroit Journalism Cooperative. That's a consortium of five different nonprofit media groups. We came together to cover the Detroit bankruptcy, and now we have a project for 2016 called The Intersection. We are looking back to look forward. We are looking at the events of 1967 in the city of Detroit. And we started in March with a look at power and how those dynamics have played out since 1967 around the city. And now, today, the Detroit Journalism Cooperative at DetroitJournalism.com launched the second installment of The Intersection, which is looking at policing and community relations. So I have in studio with me one of the writers on the project. She's the managing editor at the Detroit Jewish News, Jackie Hedipole. Welcome to Detroit Today.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah. So tell us about your story. How did the Jewish community fit in to the events of 1967 and what happened afterwards, especially in the context of policing?
The Jewish community had a big presence in 12th Street and Claremont area. Before that, they had been in Black Bottom, and as the community moved, the African-American community followed. So there was a close affinity between the Black community and the Jewish community. And what I did in my story was looked at some leaders in the Jewish community who were active in civil rights and justice issues at that time, before and after the riots.
And tell me about some of the work they did.
Well, I spoke with Judge Avram Cohn, who at the time was working at Honigman Schwartz. He volunteered his time to represent some of the rioters who were being held on Belle Isle right after the riots were over. And after that, he joined the Michigan Civil Rights Commission and the Police Review Commission. And he was integral in getting the Detroit Police Department integrated by sponsoring a series of quotas. So, for example, if a Black male officer was hired, a white male officer was hired. If a white female officer was hired, then a Black female officer was hired. And he took some flak in the Jewish community for that stand. He actually had to resign from the American Jewish Committee, who disagreed with quotas.
Interesting.
So yeah, it was very interesting. I also spoke with Senator Carl Levin, who was at the Detroit Defender's Office at the time the riot started, which actually were two doors down from where he used to practice law. So that was kind of an interesting fact. And after the riots, he decided that he could best improve justice in the community by joining the Detroit City Council. So he ran for council, I believe, 2 years after the riots were over. And he was also very important in making sure that the Detroit Police Department at the time more reflected the population of the city.
Yeah. Well, keeping along that theme of talking to leaders, we thought we'd bring one in. And so joining us in studio is Bill Goodman, a civil rights lawyer well known in the Detroit community. Bill, welcome back to WDET.
And I'm pleased as ever to be back.
Well, what were you doing in 1967? What was your role in the days following the 1967 uprisings?
Well, when the uprising started, it was a Sunday, I believe, and I was visiting my parents. And it was obvious that as I drove home from my parents' house, which was in northwest Detroit, you could see all sorts of people streaming out of storefronts and stores and all the rest of it, and carrying things and police arresting people. So it was obvious there were going to be massive numbers of detainees. So on that Monday morning, I joined with a few of my colleagues and friends in the National Lawyers Guild, and we gathered in Recorder's Court, in the old Recorder's Court, and just waited for names to be called and people to be brought up in front of the various judges, and were essentially volunteering to represent people. And we would also assign clients to lawyers when we got overwhelmed. But that's what I lived in Recorder's Court. You could see people being brought in, people who would, as was already mentioned, people were held on Belle Isle. I think they were held in the old casino and in the and on buses and held for days and days and weeks in certain cases, who had been guilty of nothing more than a curfew violation. Somebody who happened to have been out late at night, the cops were picking up everybody based upon skin color and nothing else.
Being here in studio with another journalist, Jackie Hedipole, the managing editor of the Detroit Jewish News, I know you have a question for Bill, so I'll share the microphone here. Go ahead.
I mean, how did the work that you were doing before the civil unrest in 1967, can you kind of describe what you were involved in before it happened?
I was a young lawyer. I graduated from law school in 64. I joined my father's law firm at that time, which was the first racially integrated law firm in the United States, called Goodman, Crockett, Eden, and Robb at that time. By 1967, George Crockett, who had been one of the partners in that firm, was a judge in Recorder's Court. Both Crockett and my father were very involved in the civil rights movement in the South at that time. In fact, based upon their urging, when I was in law school, I had gone to work with a small civil rights firm, an African-American firm in Virginia, and became acquainted very intimately with what was going on in the South from a lawyer's point of view. And it was inspiring to watch my mentor at that time, a guy named Len Holt, stand up in front of these racist judges throughout the South and stand for the Constitution of the United States. So those were and then once I started practicing law, I started to handle police misconduct and police abuse cases here in Detroit and became very involved with some other young radical lawyers. Chuck Ravitz was one of them, Justin Ravitz, and Ken Cockrell was another, and some other wonderful people who were all a part of that group that coalesced around Recorder's Court right after the rebellion.
You are listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 FM, WDET Radio. I'm Sandra Swoboda, your host for the day, and I'm kind of sharing the interviewing duties with Jackie Hedipole. She's the managing editor at the Detroit Jewish News. They are a WDET partner through the Detroit Journalism Cooperative. You can see the work at detroitjournalism.com, and we are in another installment of our project, The Intersection, this year, which is looking back to the events of 1967. Where have we come from since then? So a few little history lessons. Jackie, you have a piece in the Detroit Jewish News this week about some of the involvement of Jewish civil rights lawyers involved, and we have in studio Bill Goodman, who was one of them. So I know you have another question for Bill. Go ahead.
Now, how did the riots influence your work and other civil rights attorneys' work at that time?
Well, let's put it this way. The riot, as it's called, the uprising, rebellion, which is what I prefer, because it really was that, was the result of police oppression of the African-American community in the city. And that was, I was as less familiar with that before those events than I became afterwards. But it was clear, and all one has to do is read the Kerner Commission report to know that's what it arose from, an all-white police force policing a large African-American community and a growing African-American community and doing so in a way that was blatantly discriminatory. And this observing that so close up and watching how people were treated who were detained, as I said, young kids who were detained, the way in which the cops resorted to using guns. I represented a kid named Albert Wilson who was shot in the back and paralyzed because he was in a store, and at worst he was looting the store. Well, you don't shoot someone for that. And he was shot by an unknown Detroit cop who just left him on the ground to die. Fortunately, he made it to the hospital and didn't die. Over and over again, one saw those things, so that by the time the Detroit Police Department then instituted the STRESS program, Stop the Robberies, Enjoy Safe Streets, we were geared up to deal with that. By the time that we were ready to start a lawsuit over conditions in the Wayne County Jail, it was because of what had occurred during the riot, what we had seen, how we had seen people detained and treated and kept, those kinds of things. So those became lawsuits and litigation. They also became criminal cases. The New Bethel shootout was a great example of that. I didn't handle that, but my great good friends and colleagues, Chuck Ravitz and Kenny Cockrell, handled those cases brilliantly and changed the way in which juries were selected in the city of Detroit. All of these things interacted with the African-American community. And through this experience and through my connection with my law firm and George Crockett, I developed a close relationship with the NAACP. I represented the NAACP in a number of cases. Later on, during the 80s, the Dearborn Parks case, in which was an attempt to maintain neighborhood segregation, in particular in Dearborn. It was a part of a trajectory that sent me in that direction. Those are the kinds of things in which I was involved and got influenced, largely, hugely influenced by what happened during that uprising.
Bill, you gave me a great chance there to refer our listeners to some of our work through the Detroit Journalism Cooperative, because we touch on a lot of those issues in some of the partners' stories. Bill McGraw from Bridge Magazine has looked at a history of the Detroit Police Department. Jake Neer, my colleague here at WDET, explored a listener question about the use of force and how police are trained to shoot in response to a question we got from a listener in Southfield about that. And so within that piece, we got into some of the techniques and the training that go along with police departments. Jackie, I want to give you one more question on, as far as looking forward, the other attorneys that you talked to for your piece in the Detroit Jewish News, how did they say that the events of 1967 influenced their careers in Detroit?
Well, they all remained very active in civil rights and justice issues. And they were integral in the Jewish community's response to the riots at that time, and what the Jewish community did as a whole to address some of the discriminatory practices. For example, Sinai Hospital at that time was a Jewish-run hospital that had no black physicians. So one of the committees that started in the Jewish Federation shortly after the riots was over, called the Neighborhood Committee, took that challenge on, and within, you know, a few months, they had hired their first black doctors.
Yeah. Bill Goodman, I'll let you have the last word. How have you seen some of the issues, and I know this is going to be hard to do in the little bit of time we have left, but how do you see some of the issues being similar or different in the conversations we're all having now about police and community relations? Have we made any progress since 1967?
I think there's progress in terms of public awareness of police misconduct. Obviously, there are great cops, wonderful cops, and that's how we know how to size up a bad cop, a cop who uses his power, his authority, and his ability to injure and kill in ways in which it should not. So being aware of that distinction and those differences, I think, has now come to the public's attention, largely through new electronic media, through the use of cell phones and videos and dash cams and things through which people can now see what misconduct really looks like. So I think that there is now a more concrete sense of how to train, what to look for, how to discipline, and that kind of thing. Training, discipline, supervision. Those are the keys to operating a good police department. And when they are lacking, you have a bad police department. And I think that's better understood now than it was. To the extent that it's still going on, it reflects the ongoing tradition of racism in the United States that we all combat on a daily basis, and that is our legacy, and that's hard to overcome.
Bill Goodman, Detroit-based civil rights attorney, thanks for joining us on Detroit Today.
My pleasure, Sandy.
And Jackie Hadapole, managing editor of the Detroit Jewish News and our partner in the Detroit Journalism Cooperative. Thanks, Jackie.
Thank you.
You can see all the work of the cooperative on the project called The Intersection, with this month's subject of police and community relations. Find it online at DetroitJournalism.com. I'd like to thank everybody who was part of our show today. Bill McGraw from Bridge Magazine, Lester Graham from Michigan Radio, Tyrone Carter, retired from the Wayne County Sheriff's Department, and Jackie Hedepol from the Jewish News, and Bill Goodman, civil rights attorney in the city of Detroit. I'd also like to thank our funders making this possible: the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Knight Foundation, and the Ford Foundation's Renaissance Journalism Project. The show is brought to you also by our producers, Laura Weber-Davis, Amy Miller, Art Regner, Jake Neer, Program Director Joan Isabella, and thanks to Technical Director and Engineer Matthew Trevethan. We get it on the air for you. Thanks for listening to WDET, Wayne State's public radio station.